Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimbo.
Hello and welcome to Inside the Huddle in association with SkySports.com and NFL UK. We are sponsored by Sport Lobster, the sports social network. Welcome to our bonus edition. Again, it is a Wembley week, so lots going on with the Dallas Cowboys and the Jacksonville Jaguars in town ahead of their big game at Wembley Stadium on Sunday. Of course, the Cowboys, the visiting team, they had a six-game winning streak, now on a two-game losing streak. So a big game for them and a big test for the Jacksonville Jaguars and their rookie quarterback, Blake Bortles, as they look to continue to build under Gus Bradley. The Jags currently 1-8. So both teams are in town. On this podcast, we're going to hear from both head coaches. We'll hear from Jeff Rimbold on his picks for Week 10 in the NFL. And I'll weigh in with my picks as well. But, of course, great news this week as well with the announcement of three games for next year. Interestingly, the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets in Week 4, a divisional game. Then the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Buffalo Bills. The Bills with five wins already this season in the playoff mix. And then a very interesting one, the Kansas City Chiefs against the Detroit Lions. And I think it's interesting for a couple of reasons. Both those teams are in the playoff mix, of course, but also the Chiefs are so, so popular. So you want to talk about NFL teams getting behind this project, this international project and test and exploring of the UK market, then there's a great example because the Chiefs always sell out Arrowhead Stadium. And for them to give up a home game is pretty big. So that was interesting news this week. And of course, both teams have been speaking to the media ahead of the game at Wembley Stadium. Let's start by listening in to the press conference of Jacksonville Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley. Coach, tell us a little bit about the development of your young players, because there are a lot of young players on this team.
Yeah, you know what? I think as a whole, they've done a really good job. You know, and you can point out numerous examples, guys like Allen Robinson, Telvin Smith, Hearns. You know, a lot of guys have done a nice job. I think playing time, getting them on the field, has helped that maturity process. But they surely are growing, and we're seeing, you know, really good results from them. And then other guys that we're bringing along, like a guy like Marquise Lee, we really like his talent level, what he has to bring on the field. But I think, you know, we're looking at possibility of, you know, how can we get him on the field to speed up that maturity. Yeah, I do. I know in just my conversation with him and our training staff, that's what I'm going off of. So I think this is what's best for him today, and then we'll reevaluate it. But I know in my conversations with him, it's been pretty positive.
One more injury is not looking good for Linder or George.
Yeah, I would say those guys, you know, we'll know more tomorrow, but hesitant to say that they'll have an opportunity to play.
How do you guys think
practice? Yeah, I thought it would be pretty good. I was going into it thinking that, you know, it might take some time, you know, by the time we get going at our normal tempo, but it actually jumped into it pretty good. I think the guys, you know, wanted to get back to work and get back into that routine part of it.
How much did Toby need Sunday's game for making some plays?
Oh, I think it was good. He's pretty strong mentally, pretty strong competitor. So, I don't know if that would have affected his confidence. I think that he just wants to be a contributor. He wants to, you know, help his team in any way he can. And I think that part of it where he felt like he contributed and, you know, hopefully it grows from there, I think that part of it he feels really good about.
Gus, we were talking to Red about the finishing thing, and, you know, he's been around the league for a while, and getting a young team to learn how to finish games. And how do you balance frustration for a veteran like that with helping the young guys along?
Right. I think that, you know, maybe early in the season, there you could see some frustration, especially with the veteran guys. I think they know what it should look like, and it didn't happen that way. Mm-hmm. And they had to go through some soul-searching themselves and to figure out how can we get it to where we know it should be fast. And so it was really challenging for them individually. And I give them a lot of credit now, both Red, Clem, Ziggy, even the guys here, Sendarek, those guys. I think they've grown as a leader, I think, of this team, of this defense especially, to where you know, they were challenging, you know, maybe the way they talked, maybe the way they challenged guys. And now they're starting to see some results, or at least it's consistent results, where we've been playing pretty solid defensively. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that you're making good adjustments to the time differences and logistics and just the overall differences that you have this week?
Right. Well, it feels pretty good. I know that when we woke up on Tuesday morning, I believe it was, you know, that it felt like normal. And I think a lot of the players felt like that. Like yesterday's practice was good for them. You know, in conversations with them, some of them, we've had some guys like Ziggy Hood. He came out here later in the week when they were there. And I know it's been great conversation with him just about how he feels compared to when they came out later. And I know, you know, he's getting on track and just feels like his body feels better.
Gus, most of the players we talked to early on offense said that the one thing about the Cowboys that you notice when you watch them is how hard they play. Is that what you've seen as well?
Yeah, I have. Defensively, especially with their defensive line. And, you know, that's kind of a Rod Marinelli defense. You know, he brings that to a defense, especially the defensive line. I think that's been well regarded throughout the league. I think that their substitutions, they're playing so many guys, also allows them to play at a high level every play. I think they're about 8 or 9 less plays on the average of what they were last year, where if they were 67 plays a game, they're down to 58 or 59. And then on top of it, they're playing a lot of guys up front. And you're seeing that speed show up. And, yeah, it really jumps out at you that they're playing really hard.
And the offensive guys said that they like to consider themselves relentless as well, so Toby said, this is going to be a slugfest.
Well, it is. I think that's what we talked early in the year about, developing that type of a mindset with our offensive line, and hopefully it spreads through the team. But we really start with them about being relentless and owning that part of it, because that's what it takes in our scheme. And I think the last couple of weeks with how we've run the ball, I think that, you know, it's been more real now for them, and I think they've taken ownership into that relentless part of it.
Would you anticipate Toby getting more carries based on how healthy he is?
Well, you know, I think, you know, between him and Denard, you're going to see, you know, those two get most of the carries. How it all works out, you know, Denard's been playing really well. So, but if Toby carries the ball more, that would be a good thing for us as well.
In regard to Mitzi, have you seen with a lot of guys, that's the kick in the pants they need?
Well, you know what? I think with Mincy, I've seen him and watching him play. He plays really hard, and that's what he did for us too. He played really hard. I think that's a trait with him. But sometimes a different change in environment will help a person maybe get some refocus. And but we always, you know, knew that Mince had the ability and could make plays. I think it was just a, you know, get everything in order for him, get his world in order. And sometimes a culture change like that will help it. But I'm pleased to see him playing well.
There you go.
Cool.
Thank you,
Stuart. Okay. Thanks, Gus.
Okay, that's Gus Bradley there talking about a number of things with his team, but a young team, and he mentioned that with young players. They've started up to 8 rookies on offense this year, 4 regularly, including quarterback Blake Bortles. 30 of their 53-man roster are just in their first or second years in the NFL. It's the youngest team in the NFL, so quite a test for the Jags. And the club providing that test this week will be the Dallas Cowboys. And we got to listen in to head coach Jason Garrett.
Yeah, the biggest thing we've tried to do is recreate a normal week like we would have at Valley Ranch. So obviously it's a little bit different when you come over and you travel overnight, but we really encourage guys to get themselves up and moving around, get the blood flowing through their body. We had a really nice day. We had a walkthrough, kind of dynamic warm-up, and then we did a Play 60 event with a lot of kids from around here, and I thought it was fantastic. The kids were great. I thought our team, our cheerleaders, everybody really embraced the whole thing. It really was a positive experience. And then we as coaches went to work, excuse me, putting the plan together, and the players got away a little bit. And again, we encouraged them to stay up as long as they could and get a normal night's sleep. And by all accounts, everybody did that. We had good meetings this morning, good walkthrough this morning. Now we'll come to practice.
Is Romo participating in the walkthrough, and will he practice today?
Romo participated in the walkthrough, and he will not practice today.
Following a normal schedule that he's had, or is it something just to his back is still too stiff from the practice?
Yeah, following a normal schedule, but also listening to his body. And And we had a good productive walk throughout the hotel today, and we anticipate him adopting that schedule that we've had for most of the year.
You anticipate three and Ronald Leary practicing?
We do.
What about Tyrone Crawford and Rolando?
Tyrone Crawford will not practice today, and Rolando will see.
How has Parnell done?
Jeremy's done a nice job, and he's a good player. And we talked about this before. He's played well when he's had opportunities, but he's still a relatively inexperienced player. But played with good demeanor, played with good physicalness, both as a run blocker and as a pass protector. And obviously plenty of room for improvement for him and for everybody, but there's certainly some positive signs.
Coach, you played at the old Wembley Stadium. Are you looking forward to getting to the new Wembley Stadium? And how can your players feed off that atmosphere? Do you feel it will be a different atmosphere? Or?
Yeah, I've been over here a couple times to play in games, and the atmosphere at the old Wembley Stadium was fantastic. And again, it seems like the British fan base for American football is strong, and they've grown up with another sport that they've embraced. But certainly, I feel like there's a real interest in our game. And any time I've been over here, they've really shown that to us. So it's a fun environment to be in. I don't know what the new one's going to be like relative to the old one. I know it's a great opportunity for us to come to one of the great cities and play in one of the great stadiums in the world.
Jason, how is this progressing with Tony and his health? Are you getting updates directly from him? Is it a collaborative effort in terms of how much he does and how much he will do leading up to Sunday?
Yeah, we talk. Feedback matters. Obviously, all these things are medical decisions. Really important for our medical team to weigh in on what our players have. But getting feedback from the player as to how they feel, how they handle the workload is really, really important. And then you come up with what you need to do during the week to get them prepared to play their best on Sunday. So that's been going on with all our players. Certainly it's been going on with Tony since he's had the surgery. And I think it's been a good thing for us.
Will Tony be here at practice or will he be back at the hotel?
He'll be back at the hotel getting treatment.
Jason, you were a player. How do you measure good medical advice with the player's desire to want to get back as soon as possible?
Oh, I think it's always a medical decision first. And the doctors and the trainers are the experts in the area. But I think if you ask any doctor in or outside of sports, I think feedback from the patient matters. And what the patient feels, how the patient is responding to different things that they're doing, I think that's part of the whole evaluation process. And then we as coaches, the football people, we're more interested in function. How's the player functioning? And we'll look at him. He might say this. The doctor might say this. But what we see is this. And we give our feedback, too. We make a collective decision as to what's right for the player and what's right for the team.
So often in that situation, it's not – people want it to be black and white, but it's often in the gray area. And the player can function, but it'll be 70 to 80%. And then do you get into discussions of competitively, where are we, and does it make sense to do it in that situation?
Well, it's always gray when you're dealing with injuries. It's never black and white. You get some information – medical information, scans, evaluations, those kinds of things. Those sometimes can clear up situations for you. But when you're talking about the player's ability to function and how he feels, it's always gray. So honest feedback is important. Honest evaluation is important. And what we see, how he feels, and what we do, those things are constant discussions. And that's not only with Tony, that's with everybody on our football team. And then we have to make the best decision during the week to get him ready to play on Sunday, and then make the best decisions on Sunday.
Is it encouraging that he's been able to go through the walkthrough the last 2 days?
Absolutely. Yeah. It seems like he's moving around well.
Coach, given that the team has faced some adversity in the last couple of weeks, what is the mood of the team? Is it determined, angry, focused? Tell us the mood going into this game.
I think our team feels good. Obviously, it's disappointing to lose the last couple ball games, and the biggest thing we try to do as a football staff is treat the victories and the defeats the same way, and you try to take the emotion out of them as best you can and learn from the experience. You build on the good things and you correct the bad things and you move forward. That's the nature of this league. You play 16 games. And you have to do that. For years, there's a 24-hour rule in the NFL. You know, you allow that last game to hang around for 24 hours, both good and bad, and then you move on. You got to move on quickly,
And that's just kind of the nature of the league, and that's the mindset that we have to have, that we've adopted all year long. That's what we'll continue to have.
Does the nature of this week put you guys, has it put you guys behind at all in terms of your preparation for the Jaguars?
No. You know, I think the coaches have done a great job getting ready quickly. And like I said, we had our Tuesday walkthrough yesterday when we got here. It was very similar to what we do at Valley Ranch. And then today was a normal Wednesday morning. We'll have a normal Wednesday practice. And again, coaches and players embracing this opportunity, not getting bogged down by any logistical concerns, I think is a big part of it. And that starts with sleep and handling the flight over, getting up, getting moving around. Yesterday was big. And then obviously getting acclimated and getting going today is important for us.
Jason, does Tony staying at the hotel to get treatment today represent any sort of a setback?
No.
So that was in the plan?
Well, again, it's just based on the feedback and what he's told us how he feels. Again, same thing with Tyrone Crawford and other guys who are dealing with injuries. You know, to get feedback, what they're able to do in practice, is it more worthwhile to stay there and get treatment or come over here and watch practice and stand up for a couple hours? So it makes sense to stay back there, get some treatment. Got all the mental work this morning, got the walkthrough this morning, so hopefully he'll be ready to go and do something tomorrow.
Do you have in your mind what you'd like to see from him before Sunday to have confidence that he's ready to go?
Yeah, again, I keep using this expression, the same thing that we want from all of our players. We want to see them practice and see them function and execute. And obviously we want players to practice for 3 days prior to the game, but sometimes that's not the case. So you deal with the situation as it is, you try to get them as ready as you can as the week goes on. So hopefully Tony will be able to move around tomorrow and get some work in and build from there.
Jason, you had six straight wins, which was great, but this is the first moment of real adversity you've faced this season. How confident are you that you've got a group of players that can handle that?
Yeah, again, our league is based on adversity and challenge, and you know, you break the huddle in this league every week. And you're facing a really good player, a really good offense, a really good defense, a really good special teams unit, good group of coaches. So the idea that anybody, any player, coach, or team is going to go through this thing without being challenged or having adversity, it's just not realistic. Even the best teams are confronted by that. So, and certainly you're not going to win them all. The last team that won it all was a long, long time ago. So you just got to keep battling. You got to keep fighting. You got to handle the success and the adversity the same way. You strap it up, you get ready to get in your stance and come off the ball one more time, and that's what we're going to do as a team. Mintz has done a nice job. He really has. He's a veteran player who plays the right way and really has provided a little bit of a presence on our defensive line, a leader on our defense and a leader on our team. Comes to practice, practices hard, plays hard. I think he's affected the quarterback. You know, he's got a kind of a bulldog style where he pushes the pocket and impacts the quarterback in the pocket, making him a little bit more uncomfortable than maybe he'd like to be. He's been active in the running game. Has he played perfectly? No. But he's part of a rotation that we like, and he's playing the right way.
How much research do you guys do on him? Have you talked to a lot of people before you signed him?
Yeah, we did. I mean, we go back to his college grades and what we saw in him coming out of school, and then guys, you know, he was around, you know, coaches, players. Those are all parts of the evaluation when you're dealing with a veteran player. And he's been a guy we've had our eye on for a couple of years, and we just kind of like the way he plays. He jumps off the screen at you in terms of his effort and his enthusiasm, his relentless nature as a player, and done a lot of good things for us.
He had some issues in Jacksonville, missing meetings and some other stuff. Did you consider all of that, or was that never part of the equation?
Yeah, I think you always try to do your due diligence on players and understand you know, what's been in their past, both good and bad, and maybe what the reasons might have been for some of those things, and try to figure out if that player fits into what you want on your football team. And you know, I think the biggest thing with Mintz is he comes to work. He comes to work every day. It's attentive in meetings. He practices hard and he plays hard. And again, from people that we think are credible sources who have been around him throughout his career, that's what they described to us. And we went ahead and signed him, and we're happy we did.
He's come in and become sort of a leader on the defensive line. Certainly he's out front talking, and certainly somebody that locker room there every day.
Yeah, he loves to play, and he's got an infectious personality, and guys respond to him.
What's caught your attention about Jacksonville?
Well, I think they have good players, and you know, they've lost some games this year for a lot of different reasons. But if you look across their team, really good defensive front, very active with their linebackers and their secondary guys, good individual players, and they play the right way. They play kind of that Seattle style of defense, so it's fast, it's downhill, it's trying to affect the quarterback. A lot of guys around the line of scrimmage, and they do a good job with it.
You know, offensively, they've played a couple different quarterbacks. Obviously, they invested a high pick in Blake Bortles, and he's done a good job for them. You see him getting better and better. He's a very talented guy. They have a good runner, and they have some good young players on their offensive line. So there's a lot of pieces there, and they play the right way. So, you know, the biggest thing for us is we watch the tape. We watch the individual guys. We watch how they play as a unit, and we prepare for that team. And got a real healthy respect for the Jacksonville team.
You got a couple of good returns out of Dwayne and punt return game this week. What did you see as a difference there?
I just think we did everything better, to be honest with you. I think we blocked better. We were more disciplined. You know, Dwayne did a better job getting north and south and making some plays for us. And, you know, sometimes the return game can be a little bit hit and miss because the timing is so critical. You know, 8 or 9 guys can be doing their job, but if for some reason the one guy doesn't get his block, you know, like a lot of plays in football, things don't work out. But we have a lot of confidence in Dwayne. He's done a good job for us throughout his career, and it was good to see us make a couple of those plays last week.
Okay, that's it from both teams as they prepare for their game. Lots going on this weekend. Make sure you get out to Wembley Stadium from 9 o'clock on Saturday for NFL All Access. You'll get a chance to watch the Dallas Cowboys hold their walkthrough. You will meet players and coaches from both the Cowboys and the Jaguars. We'll have Jacksonville Jaguars cheerleaders, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, music acts, lots of alumni, including a great pairing in Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin, who will be part of a special fan forum for you to ask your questions of those legends. Jacksonville legend Tony Boselli and Fred Taylor will also be in attendance. So from about 9 o'clock until 4 p.m. on Saturday, lots of NFL action for you. Some X's and O's. Gus Bradley's going to give us a little chalk talk and insight into what coaches do during the week leading up to a game. Really going to take you inside the game ahead of the big kickoff at Wembley Stadium on Sunday afternoon. So before we finish up, let's get our picks for this week, week 10 in the NFL. And let's start by hearing from my usual partner, Jeff Reinbold.
Let's take a look at week 10 in the NFL. We'll make our predictions as we go forward. Starting on Thursday, November 6th, it's the Cleveland Browns at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Browns are surprising 5-3-0, play the Bengals, who have 5 wins of their own. And I give Cincinnati the edge in this just because they're playing in the jungle in Cincinnati. And I think the Browns, while they're having a great season, are just not quite good enough yet to beat the Bengals at home. Cincinnati's very, very good at home. Then you go on to Sunday. The first game is very, very close to us here in Hamilton. It's the Buffalo Bills at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. Both teams come in with 5-3 records and playoff aspirations. It's kind of a new thing for the Bills, and Kyle Orton has done a great job of getting the ball to Sammy Watkins, and they run the ball well. But I just think the Chiefs overall have too many weapons for the Bills, and I think their defense will get after Orton. So I'll give the Chiefs the nod in that one. In Detroit, the Lions host the Dolphins, a 6-2 Lion team against a 5-3 Dolphin team that just shut out the San Diego Chargers. The Lions are starting to get healthy a little bit. I look for Megatron to have a big game in this one. If the Dolphins have a chance, they're going to have to get after Stafford. But I think in Detroit, in the Dome, I give the Lions the nod over the Dolphins. Further action on Sunday in Wembley, the Jaguars play the Cowboys. It's technically the Jaguars' home game, but again, the Cowboys, to me, while they've fallen in the last 2 weeks, are still a very good football team. If Romo's healthy, I certainly give the nod to the Cowboys. With Brandon Weeden at quarterback, I think the Jaguars are capable of beating the Cowboys because I think they can play good enough defense. And again, Bortles, if he doesn't throw interceptions, has proven he can throw the football with anybody in the league. But I think, again, the Cowboys will win that one, and I expect to see Romo play. On the West Coast, the 49ers have to travel to New Orleans. That's a tough place to play. Both teams are 4-win teams, 4-4. Critical game for both teams. The Saints need to keep, you know, on top of the NFC South, and the 49ers are struggling and need to keep pace with San Diego, Seattle and the teams in their league, so in their division. So I'm going to give the Saints the nod just because it's in New Orleans, and I think the Niners are a little bit shell-shocked right now after losing that tough one at home last week to St. Louis. the Titans go to the Ravens. The Ravens are 5-4-1 coming off of a loss in Pittsburgh last week, but I just think they're too good a football team for the Titans. Titans are struggling in all areas, particularly on offense. And again, Zach Mettenberger is going to get a mustache full of that Ravens defense on Sunday, and I give the Ravens the nod there. Jets and Steelers in New York. Steelers are playing very well on offense. The Jets are 1-8, struggling in every facet of the game. Can't cover on defense, can't move the ball on offense, and struggling in the kicking game. Steelers, I think, are too good a football team. The Jets are in disarray. As much as that's tough for me to say because I love Rex Ryan, I think it's going to be a Steeler win in New York. We go now to Tampa Bay, where the Falcons at 2-6 come to Tampa 1-7. Now, this is a rematch of a game that the Falcons just pounded the Bucs earlier in the season. But both of these teams have been real disappointments this year. I think the Falcons are a better team. Quarterbacking is really a problem right now in Tampa Bay. And I just think that the Falcons have enough weapons that they can outscore the Buccaneers, who have certainly struggled mightily on offense this year. So, again, take the Falcons in that one. The Raiders and Broncos in Oakland, I look for the Broncos to bounce back. The Raiders were close last week up in Seattle, but, again, still devoid of some talent that they need. And, again, I look for the Broncos to bounce back and Manning to have a big game against that Raiders secondary. Out in Arizona, the Rams, who had a huge win over San Francisco last week, play the Cardinals. Bruce Arians Cardinals are 7-1. I look to see them go 8-1. They're a better football team than the Rams are. And again, I think the Rams are improved under Jeff Fisher, but I just think the Cardinals under Arians are one of the better teams in the NFL right now. 6-3 Seahawks against the Giants in Seattle. Giants have to go across four time zones up into the Northwest, play in front of the 12th man. Again, this is a tall order for the Giants. And watching the game last night, I just thought they looked listless. They lost Prince Amukamara, the corner, which is really going to hurt them. So I give the Seahawks the nod. Seahawks pick up their sixth win at home against the Giants. Packers and Bears, one of the great rivalry games in the National Football League. It's in Green Bay. The Bears, really coming off a bye, really, really need this win desperately bad to stay in the race. The Packers are 5-3. The Bears are 3-5. If the Bears have any chance to get to the playoffs, they have to win this game. I think that they'll do well enough offensively against the Packer defense. But again, can the Bear defense, which has struggled for 2 years now under Mark Trestman, can that Bear defense make enough plays against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? I don't think so. I'm taking the Packers in this one. And then the Eagles and the Panthers in Philly, 6-2 Eagles with Mark Sanchez at the controls against the 3-5 Panthers. Again, Panthers didn't look very good, in my opinion, against the Saints the other night on television. I just don't see enough weapons there on offense. And people are starting to, expose their back end on defense a little bit. So I'll give, even though Sanchez will be, I think, certainly a work in progress as he starts now his first game as a starter with the Eagles, I give him the nod. Just too many weapons around him and too good a coaching staff and too good a defense. So if he doesn't throw interceptions, I think this one will be over by halftime. I'll take the Eagles over the Panthers. Those are my selections this week. Thank you for listening to the Inside the Huddle podcast, brought to you by NFL UK, Sky Sports, NFL, and Sports Lobster.
Okay, so there's Jeff's picks for Week 10. I was so tempted to take Cleveland. You won't believe me now because it's Friday morning as I record this, but I was, but I didn't. Didn't quite have the courage to back against the Cincinnati Bengals, who've been so strong at home. Wish I had on that one. Big win for the Browns. Moving on to Sunday then. Tennessee at Baltimore. I'm going with the Ravens. Tennessee are one of the worst teams in the NFL at the moment, I think. Kansas City at Buffalo. This is a tough one because Kansas City are playing really well. They've won 5 of their last 6. Buffalo, good, tough defense. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs to get this win on the road. Miami at Detroit. Miami have not played that well in domed stadiums. I was going to pick the Dolphins if this game had been at home, but as the game is in Detroit, Calvin Johnson looks like he's coming back. Reggie Bush looks like he's coming back. I'm going to go with the Lions. Dallas versus Jacksonville in London. Depends on Tony Romo. If Romo plays, I think this could be an easy, comfortable win for the Cowboys. I think they're too strong for the Jags, even though I've seen some positives from Jacksonville for sure. I think Dallas get the win. If Brandon Weeden plays, this becomes a very competitive game. He's lost his last 8 starts in the NFL. But for now, I'm going to pick the Dallas Cowboys to win that one. San Francisco at New Orleans. Something not quite right with the 49ers this year. I think we've all seen that. And the Saints are a formidable foe at home. So I'm going New Orleans to win that game. Pittsburgh at the New York Jets. I'm not sure Big Ben gets another six touchdown passes, but the Steelers do get the win. Atlanta at Tampa Bay. Oh, could pick a tie here. I mean, both teams are looking pretty low on spirits at the moment. Josh McCown going back in at quarterback for the Bucs. Falcons absolutely destroyed them last time. I'm going to go Atlanta to get the win. Denver at Oakland is going to be a pretty simple formula, and that is Peyton Manning and the Broncos get the win. St. Louis at Arizona, tough physical game this one will be. But I'm going with the Cardinals to win this one and keep rolling in the NFC. Giants at Seattle. I think the Giants are heading in the wrong direction, so I'm picking Seattle to win that one. One of the oldest rivalries in the NFL resumes on Sunday night. Chicago at Green Bay. Bears have not looked good this year, inconsistent, so I'm going with Green Bay to win that one. And finishing things off, the Carolina Panthers at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Mark Sanchez era begins. And I'm actually going to pick Sanchez and the Eagles to win at home. So those are all my picks. If you are going to Wembley Stadium on Saturday, enjoy the day. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. Lots of entertainment planned for you there at the NFL All Access event. And enjoy the game on Sunday. The Dallas Cowboys at the Jacksonville Jaguars at Wembley Stadium. Until next week, where myself and Jeff Reinbold will be back to dissect everything in Week 10 and look ahead to Week 11. Enjoy another big Wembley weekend, and we'll speak to you next week. Bye for now.